Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts, chapter 8. I want to talk to you this morning about the great church. I've been in a few churches that weren't too great, but I've been in some that were. But I want to tell you something. God's church is great. And so we follow Him with all of our heart. There are congregations that are different, but God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women and committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many of those who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Let's look today at great persecution in the church and great joy. And we just studied last week about that there was great power in the early church. There was great grace upon them all, but there also came great persecution, but there always came also came great joy when people were being saved. Father, thank you for your word this day. I pray your blessings, your anointing upon the ministry of the word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We think of great things as things that are unusual, things that just are powerful, and you can't turn your back on them. You have to look at it. It's there. Years ago, I remember sitting in my pastor's living room when it had just gotten to be where you weren't condemned to hell for having a television. And I had the privilege of watching the Ice Bowl, where the Dallas Cowboys play the Green Bay Packers in sub-zero weather. It was cold. It was known later as the Ice Bowl. And there was a man that worked, that quarterback Brett Starr of the Green Bay Packers ran and made a touchdown, and it made the score be 21-17 in favor of Green Bay. Of course, I was from Texas. We wanted the Cowboys to win. The Dallas Cowboys had a man on their team that was extremely fast, supposed to be the fastest man in football. His name was Bob Hayes. Anybody remember Bob Hayes? Yeah? Powerful football player. He's a great football player. And I told my mother, I said, let's just hope he gets the ball in this kickoff, because there's only a few seconds left in the game, because he could run to the touchdown and before the game was over. But he didn't. But he was a great football player. There's other great things that have happened in our world. As we look in the Bible as an example, we find that among the judges was Samson. Samson came along. God empowered him to deliver Israel from various strongholds and armies. And Samson was a great man. He had great strength. But Samson was morally weak. In his great strength, he killed over 1,000 people at one time, Philistines that had come against Israel, because God greatly empowered him to do so. And so we had a vision of great strength there. But you know, whenever the gospel is preached, the gospel of Christ, spiritual resistance becomes strong, becomes great. And this church, early church, they had great power because God did signs, wonders, and miracles among them. He's never stopped. and they had great grace, and this is encouraging, but we still today need great power and great grace, and I believe that we can have and will have and have had. I don't want miracles and signs and wonders to be a thing of the past. I want them to be a present thing. And it's not that I don't want, just because I want it to be, it's what God's plan was. God intended for the disciples, for the early church, to continue the work that Jesus began when he was upon this earth. Praise the Lord. And Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me, both Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the great church of that day reached most of the known world with the gospel. But God has called us not to stop at the book of Acts, but the book of Acts was to continue on through us, through the church today. And however greatness the challenge becomes, great persecution here would challenge the church that proclaimed Jesus as the Son of God, that proclaimed him as the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And as the early church proclaimed him as the only means by which they could be saved. That was fine for those that believed that Jesus was the Son of God. That was fine for those that believed that he was a powerful witness and a prophet. But it was not so well taken by those that did not believe he was the Son of God and did not believe him as the promised Messiah. And so with great power and great grace, yes, there arose, first of all, great persecution arose. In our reading here, chapter 8, verse 1, now Saul, this is for his conversion, was consenting to his death, and at that time he's talking about Stephen's death. At that time, great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Okay? And this great persecution began just after the stoning of Stephen. Stephen's a powerful preacher of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, he preached so hard that they got so angry at him, they stoned him while he was speaking the truth about Jesus. This angry mob executed him by stoning him. However, in Scripture's recorded, Stephen saw Jesus standing to welcome him to eternal life and to welcome him home to heaven, the first Christian martyr. And Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, but Jesus stood to welcome the first Christian martyr home to heaven. And the Bible says here they stoned, Acts 7:37, they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Which you can take that the spirit departs from the body at death. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Proving the spirit leaves the body at death. And great persecution arose. Why? Because the pure gospel truth challenges all other religious pursuits. And we don't like it here. It don't like to be said today in the secular world that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And it's the only way to God that any religion, there's a popular thing out there that says, you know, that all religions lead to the same heaven. All faiths are the same, but they're not the same, my friend. There's just one way. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. And at that name, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is not one of many lords, but he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the way it goes. Praise the Lord. So great persecution arose, and whenever there's truth that's preached, there's going to be opposition. And it's difficult for people to admit that they were headed the wrong way when they lived and had been taught a certain belief system for some time. This has been all time. It's hard to get people to believe something different if they've been taught a certain thing all their lives. In Islam, they've been taught from day one that the Quran is the truth. They've been taught that Jesus was a prophet, but he wasn't the Son of God. And I'm amazed as I read that where many Islamic people have turned from their sins and confessed Christ as Lord and have abandoned the religion of Islam for Jesus Christ.
Thank God for it.
Some of our missionaries that you support, that we support, have seen this happen time and time again. And we keep sending the gospel that other people, that otherwise would be people that would be spirit, would remain spiritually dark. But when the light of Christ comes in, there can be a change. Praise the Lord. People can serve the one true and living God and his son Jesus. And here Saul, before his conversion, Saul of Tarsus, later become the Apostle Paul, but here he was a Pharisee and he was entrenched deeply in Judaism and believed that Christianity was deeply opposed to his beliefs. He still believed in animal sacrifices. He still believed in all the things they did in the Old Testament, and he did not believe that Jesus fulfilled and become the perfect righteousness of the law, Ten Commandments, in the Old Testament. Jesus himself said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, and he did. He, the only one who ever lived the perfect righteousness of the law of the Old Testament, the law of Moses. He's the only one who ever perfectly kept the Ten Commandments. He's the only one that lived the perfect righteousness of God. And so the Apostle Paul, he's hard for him to leave things behind. And so he persecuted the church. There arose great persecution. He was the one, he was the main guy that was promoting persecution against the church because he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He failed to see that Christ was the fulfillment of the law. And you see within humanity, division is evident in most things of the world. Here, the carnal way of dealing with division was to excommunicate or put to death those who opposed Judaism and had different views about God, Jesus, acceptance by God, eternal things. It was called persecution. And for people here today, there is no other way to heaven but through Christ. It's difficult for some people. So, well, there's good people in every religion. Jesus says there's none righteous, not even one. It's only Christ. And so there's not many ways to one heaven. There's only one way to a real heaven. That's through Christ. And so persecution began here, and it began to grow, and they persecuted people. They even put people to death for their belief in Christ, and they still do today in various parts of the world. But let's see a little difference here in second of all, persecution causes the spread of the gospel. Chapter 8 here, verse 4. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. You see, persecution caused the spread of the gospel. Everybody in Jerusalem said, you know, well, this started right here, and we're Jews, and this is just the place where God wants everything to be, and we'll just stay right here. We're not many, we're just few. You know, us four, no more, Acts 2:4. But anyway, people just say, well, we'll just stay right here, and it'll just be us, and we don't have to have anybody else, and we all believe the same thing here. We're just under the law, we'll just stay here. But persecution caused the spreading of the gospel. That's why you and I are saved today, because the gospel didn't stay in one place. Philip went down to a city of Samaria and preached Christ. He didn't go there and preach prosperity. He didn't go there and say, send an offering to me and God will send you more. He didn't go there preaching that gospel, which is not a gospel anyway, but he went there preaching the word. He preached Christ. He preached Jesus to the people of Samaria. And for him to go there, it means it proves that Jesus died for all peoples, all nations, all nationalities. A person's soul and their eternal well-being is important to God and should be important to us as the church. And regardless of what color, what clan, what people are saved, it does not matter to God. People are people, and people need Jesus as their Savior, regardless of what they are, what background they are, where they came from. And Paul would say to the church at Galatia after he was saved, He would say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor is there slave nor free, neither is there male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So when we come to Jesus, there's no different. We're all the same. Sinners that have been saved by the grace of God, our names written in our heaven, and we're on our way to heaven instead of hell. Praise God. That's what God can do. So persecution caused the gospel to spread, and many people, when Philip went down to Samaria, and Samaria didn't have very good relations with Jews. The Samaritans were a mixed race of people. And there were great demonstrations of God's power, even in the conversion of Samaritan believers. People were saved, people were delivered from demon possession. And I'm sure some of the apostles looked together and said, this is only supposed to happen in Jerusalem, not in Samaria, of all places. But they began to preach there. Philip began to preach. People were saved, people were healed. Those that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. There was great persecution from other peoples, but there was great joy in that city. My friend, what greater joy is there is when God delivers somebody from the bondage of sin and shame and gives them eternal life instead? There's not a better trade. There's not a better substitute anywhere. You come to God, and He has it all. He's the one to go to. And so there's still great persecution today against Christianity, but God gives great peace to His people. Amen. Psalms 119:165 says, great peace of those who love your law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. So we just keep on going on for God, and God gives us peace, great hope, great love. And great peace of those that love thy law, nothing will cause them to stumble. That speaks of stability. Even in the presence of potential enemies, the psalmist has inner peace that grows out of his love for God's way. Amen. And so thank God that God causes there to be great joy even when they're persecuted. And also God gives great peace to people who are persecuted. Last of all, great joy describes the spread of the gospel. They were scattered everywhere preaching the word of God. Now, I've already mentioned two unclean spirits came out with a loud voice crying. And many lame people were healed. Verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Amen. And so the gospel bridged the gap between Jews and Samaritans because the gospel includes all people. I'm glad it does. It causes us to view all people who equally need the truth that will change their lives. And they were scattered everywhere. Said, we're getting persecuted right here in Jerusalem. Let's go somewhere else and see what they'll do. And the same signs and miracles followed them when they came to Samaria. Persecution caused them to preach everywhere. And this was obedience to the Great Commission. Amen. It's a powerful thing because God intended all the world to know Him as Savior anyway. Amen. And God told Abraham, says, through your descendants, through your seed, all the world, all the peoples of the world will be blessed because that through His lineage would come Jesus Christ and the gospel to the whole world. Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ to them. Samaria was not a desirable place for Jews to go. They avoided Samaria. They would go around Samaria to avoid going through it. They didn't want any contact with the Samaritans. Why? Because Samaritans were a mixed people of part Jewish and part something else. When the kingdom of Israel fell, God and were judged for being judged, and they were being defeated by the Assyrians. When the Assyrians took over northern Israel, the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Ava, Hamath, from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And said, God in the Old Testament had instructed the nation not to intermarry with peoples who served other gods, because when people brought people would bring their gods with them and try to bring them into Christianity. But that wouldn't work. Solomon, King Solomon failed in this area. No few people have had the revelation of God that King Solomon had. His golden rule must have been something. He had silver and gold more than you and I'll ever imagine. He had many wives. I've never imagined that. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And I don't understand that, but God blessed Solomon as long as he feared God and served the Lord. But in his latter days, he married wives that served other gods. And when he married them, they brought their gods with them. And eventually, in the early later in his life, we find that Solomon is building idols and kneeling down and bowing down to other gods other than the God that saved him. So I believe that Solomon repented in the end. I believe the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that in the last chapter. But the gospel penetrates all peoples. And God instructed not to interact or marry people with other that served other gods because it would take their heart away from the one true God. And so what does that say to us today? I mean, you don't have to look at your companion and wonder. Please don't. But God came to save all people, even Samaritans, who were not viewed as regular people by the Jews. They didn't like them. They didn't like each other. They didn't get along. Amen. They were worse than Democrats and Republicans. They couldn't get along about anything. But Philip preached to these people, these Samaritans, okay, God, if you want me to go to Samaria, you know they're not the best people in the world, but have you got something to say to Samaria? Yes, Philip, I want you to go there. I've called you to go there. I've got some people. I got some people there that need salvation. So he went. He didn't preach himself. He didn't preach something else. He didn't preach Judaism. He preached Christ to them. He preached Jesus to them. And you know, to much to the surprise of Jewish people, Samaritans started receiving Christ as their Savior. They started being healed of their diseases and their sicknesses, and they started being delivered from evil spirits. And God said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation, make disciples of all nations. And so that's what they did. And there, the Bible says that, verse 8, there was great joy in that city. Don't you think, church, there should still be great joy in the church today? Amen. Don't you think there will be great joy in heaven when the redeemed from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, everybody from all places all over the world, different nationalities, different colors, all gather together with one accord before the Lamb of God? Don't you think there's going to be great joy? I want to tell you, friend, there's going to be shouting on the hills of glory when we reach the other shore, when we reach that place where Jesus is, and we get to fall down at the feet of Jesus and worship Him who lives forever and ever, who made salvation possible for even me. And you, I find that in Scripture, Revelation chapter 7, and Revelation is called Revelation because it's an unveiling of God's work in the end time. I'm trying to get my pages apart here. I know it's God's Word. But Revelation chapter 7 shows us there will be people everywhere, not just Jews and Samaritans, but others as well. Revelation 7:14 says, So I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, no, back at verse 13, Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? He's talking about people that are saved during the tribulation. You said, I didn't think they could be saved during the tribulation. Yes, they can. The better thing is to be saved now and take the same trip out of town when God calls His church up for rapture. But those that don't hear during the tribulation, they'll be saved that come to Him. Verse 14, I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more, and the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. So we see that God saves people, and God from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and all peoples, he does. Verse 9, same chapter, back up. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. That's the people of God that are saved, out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Amen. And so, wherever this gospel of Christ is preached, people have been saved, set free, delivered from all types of sins, all types of addictions, from demon possession. My friend, the testimonies are numerous, not just numerous, there are many, where people have been saved by the blood of Jesus, called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ, and they've set themselves on a new road, walking a different path, walking for God, living for God, serving God. And my friend, when we send missionaries out on the foreign field or on this field here in the United States, we see people saved, born again of God's Spirit. That's the will of God. Amen. I believe, yes, I love fun, food, and fellowship, and that's okay among believers, but that's not the goal of the church. The goal of the church is to send this gospel to the ends of the earth so that everyone has the opportunity to be saved, born again, and enter into heavenly fellowship with God. Shouldn't we have great joy when we realize that we've been saved and delivered from? When we sing, when we worship in the church, when we see the King of Kings. Peter put it this way, whom having not seen you love, Jesus, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, unspeakable, and full of glory. That's what we want, friend. We want to be close to him. And so Jesus, a great church may have great persecution, but in the end it will have great joy. You want to be a part of that great church, born again, walking with God, living for God when he returns. Amen.